couple months ago, I was had a meeting in Tiffin, which is where our association, Northwest Ohio Association headquarters are. And for the drive, it's not the most exciting drive if you've ever gone that way. So I queued up a podcast that I listen to sometimes called The Liturgists. And as I was listening, I heard a couple of the most moving stories I've heard this year. There were stories of faith and doubt. There's two men, both named Michael, as it turns out, who grew up in the church, were raised in deeply Christian families, and as they kind of came into maturity, came into adulthood, they both went through some times of really significant doubt. And both of them at one point said, I'm done with this. I don't believe. It's too much work to believe. I have to, you know, ignore my brain. I have to ignore science. One of them, his nickname is Science Mike, and he actually came to doubt by reading the Bible. You know, a lot of times we think about reading the Bible brings you to faith. For him, it brought him to doubt. He said, I just can't square how I've read the Bible and been taught to read the Bible for so many years with reality, with science, and with what we know about the world. And he said, I'm done with that. I can't do it anymore. And the other young man looked around him at the world and saw sin and suffering and injustice and corruption. And he said, in classic fashion, I don't know how a good God could allow all of this to take place. Now, their story is worth listening to. And they eventually journeyed back to a different version of faith, though Christian faith. But what really struck me as I was listening was how both of them, being in the church, having families who were committed Christians, they were leaders in the church. One of them was a worship leader. He led the congregation in music every week. The other one was a deacon in his Baptist church and a Sunday school teacher. And both of them, how they felt the need to hide their doubts. Went on for years, a couple of them, with these doubts that they didn't feel like they could tell anyone. Because the church is a place for believers and not for doubters. And too often that is the case in our churches. We don't want people to ask questions that might shake up our faith a little bit. I've heard way too many stories, and I know this doesn't happen in our Sunday school classes, but of children who ask questions like, you know, if Cain was one of the first children of the world and he leaves and he finds another town, where did those people come from in Genesis chapter 4? And their Sunday school teachers say, shh, get out of here. Stop causing trouble. I've heard way too many stories like that. Doubt has a bad rap in the church, but we need to talk about it. And we need to talk about it because Jesus asks us to. Our question today that Jesus asked Peter as he's sinking, after he's sinking, sinks into the sea is, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And so with that invitation from Jesus, let's talk a little bit about it. But first, let's get into the story a little bit. See, the story of Peter begins as a story of faith, right? I mean, how many of us, if we were on this boat in the sea and we see Jesus walking towards us somehow on the water, how many of us would say, hey, I want to try that? You know, there's a storm going on, and Peter says, hey, Jesus, you know, if it be your will, what good? That's a good churchy kind of phrase. If it be your will, if you want, command me to come out to you, to walk out to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat. And as we read the story, we get the impression that Peter walks a decent distance. And then for whatever reason, Peter stops. And he starts looking around and sees the waves rising around him and the winds. And he thinks, this is impossible. And he begins to sink. cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does, but in the process asks, "Why did you doubt?" Now, this word for doubt in the Greek is a very rare word, not only in the New Testament, but in all of Greek literature. It's not used very often. So I looked it up, and one commentator says that this word is referring to the disorientation produced by an unfamiliar and overwhelming situation. Have any of you ever had an experience that was unfamiliar and overwhelming and you just felt disoriented? Right? You can imagine how Peter felt disoriented. He's walking on water. I don't know if many of us are familiar with that situation, but Peter is not. Clearly, this is the first time he's done it. He's overwhelmed by that. He's overwhelmed by the storm around him. He's overwhelmed by this new experience. A lot of times we think of doubt as being a question about our belief in God's existence. And that's one kind of doubt. It's existential doubt when we're asking, does God exist? But that's really not Peter's question here. That's not the situation, because there's another kind of doubt that I'm calling relational doubt, which is a question that's not, does God or someone exist, but whom can I trust? And that is where Peter's doubt comes into play. Again, the scholar France says, Peter's problem was not so much lack of intellectual conviction, it wasn't up here, as much as the conflict between the evidence of his senses and the invitation of Jesus. His senses are saying, this is not possible. And Jesus is saying, this is possible. And Peter's question is, whom should I trust? My own experience, my own senses, my own reason and logic and what everyone else in the world would tell me that this is not possible, or the call of Jesus that this is possible. This word for doubt is a word for being of two minds. For Peter, it's his desire to walk on water, but also his concern for survival. And both of these things are going on in his mind. Peter is a combination in this moment of faith and doubt. And I think if we're honest, so are all of us. This week I kept coming back to another story in the Gospels. In Mark, there's a father whose son is afflicted, and he comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, if you can do something. And Jesus says, if I can. And this man cries out, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And I think that is who we are. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. We are this mixture of faith, belief, conviction, trust. We don't have doubts about whether God exists. Maybe we haven't really questioned it much. Maybe we've just lived a life where God has shown up in our lives so many times that that isn't even a question for us. We have seen and known God to be real. Now, some of us still struggle with that. Some of us still have questions, and that's the journey. But even for those of us who would say, yeah, I believe that God exists, we are still faced with the question is how much do we trust? How much do we trust that God? What risks are we really willing to take when the evidence of our senses and the invitation of Jesus collide and come into conflict? This is the journey. It's a journey of faith and doubt, of belief and unbelief. And so I thought maybe just to kind of level the playing field today, hopefully I haven't been looking back, we're good, we're caught up, that we might all make this confession together. Let's read this together. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Let's say that again. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. We're all in this journey of faith and doubt. And I want to make one more suggestion about doubt, that I think really doubt is the fuel for our journey of faith. Doubt is the fuel of our journey, for our journey of faith. And if we hide from it, if we hide our doubts, if we swallow our questions, if we live ashamed of the ways that we don't believe perfectly, we are halting our faith journey. We're going to be stuck. Because you see, often, and this is a big problem that the church has perpetuated, often we mistake our doubt for doubting God when it's really doubting our understanding of God. You see the difference? We have doubts about the things that we've been taught about God. We have doubts about the ways that we've always thought God to be. That's not the same as doubting God, because as we talked about with the kids, our minds cannot possibly fully grasp the full reality of God. And that's a doubt that we need. We need to doubt our own understanding of God, or else God is never going to get bigger in our lives, or else our faith is never going to get bigger, or else we're never going to experience anything more of God and of the Christian life than we experience right now. And that's not the call to follow Jesus. Proverbs 3:5 tells us this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the second part, listen to this, and lean not on your own understanding. Why is that? Because our own understanding is so tiny. I mean, even the greatest scholar of the Bible, the greatest theologian, compared to who God actually is, their understanding of God is so tiny. And so we need to doubt our own understanding if we're going to allow God to grow in our lives. Often our doubt is not a doubt in God, but we are struck by the unsearchable, unfathomable God that we read from Romans 11. And that's written by Paul. I mean, if anyone knows God, it's Paul, right? Like, author of most, a good portion of the New Testament. And he's saying, I can't even comprehend. God is beyond searching out. God is beyond understanding. Just praise him, because I can't grasp him in my brain. That's where doubt comes into our lives, and we need it. Oftentimes, we are doubting the familiar, the status quo, the patterns of this world, even the patterns of this of the church. Just go on and on and on and never grow, never change. That's what we're doubting, and we need to doubt it. So don't hide your doubts. Don't swallow your questions. Don't live in shame of your doubts, because we need them if we're to grow in faith. We need to experience God in a new way that we haven't yet experienced. We are like hermit crabs who, as we grow, we need to at some point say, huh, maybe this shell isn't going to facilitate my further growth. That's actually what hermit crabs say. They say that to themselves. It's possible that this shell is not of the proper magnitude to facilitate my further growth. That's us and our faith. We need to at some point be able to say, okay, the faith I had when I was in Sunday school, my knowledge at least of God that I had when I was in Sunday school, because children can have great faith, far greater faith than adults. But my knowledge of God and these things that I was taught as a child, it's not that they're wrong, but they're not complete. And that hermit crab, for a time, leaves his shell. And I can't imagine how uncomfortable that time is, apart from the comfort and the safety and the protection. It's a time of vulnerability, of being exposed, of being uncomfortable. And that's what doubt can feel like. But eventually, in the protection of the community of which we're a part, in the protection of God's grace, we find our way to a new home. We find our way to a bigger faith. We find our way to a new experience of God the true God that we are just seeing through different lenses. If we run from doubt and hide our doubt, our view of God will be stunted, our ministry will be stale, our churches will wither away. Friends, I have moments, I know I'm your pastor, I have moments when the whole idea of God can just feel way too abstract. I have moments where suffering and even the sin in my life, the things that I just can't seem to shake, feel way too concrete. I'm in a season right now where I'm not sure if I trust God enough to step out of that boat like Peter. But this is the gospel word this morning to you and to myself. That father who cried out, "I believe, help me in my unbelief," Jesus saved his son. And Jesus pulled up doubting Peter from those waves and from drowning, even though his faith was not perfect. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross, not for the righteous, but for sinners. Not for the smugly certain, but for honest doubters like you and me. And so let's not be rude to Jesus. When he asks us, why did we doubt? Let's respond honestly. Because our hope is not built on the size of our faith. Our hope is built on the size of God's grace. Amen? We're going to take a time to reflect together. And I encourage you in that time of reflection to use the prayer of confession that's coming up in a couple minutes to just look that over. See, be honest about where doubt and faith reside in your heart. And then we'll all confess together, be honest with God together. So let's reflect in God's presence.